Hello and welcome to the final night of Millennial 2017. This is number 63 and it's with Cato. So welcome, Cato, to the channel.
Thanks for having me on.
Right. So you are an Austrian. Well, how would you describe yourself? You introduce yourself.
You could basically describe me as a pragmatic reactionary.
Right. Could you go into more detail there?
When it comes to politics, I'm very much a monarchist and in the entire online culture, heavily associated with the alt-right.
Right, okay. And so you don't mind that term, alt-right? I mean, a lot of people seem to think it's just American. How would you...
It is an umbrella term, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so tell us more about that, because that's interesting, because a lot of people are sort of saying at this stage that it's had its use. It's sort of becoming irrelevant now. I'm not sure. I'm completely 50-50 on this.
I would completely disagree with that. It still has its use. It's still around. It's a recognizable brand. It functions well, and it still has momentum. So I don't see any need for throwing it away.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess the idea is that after Charlottesville, it got tainted. But of course, the counter argument to that is whatever term we call ourselves, it will be tainted by the mainstream media.
Very true. I mean, I have that in my personal life. Every time I have a normal political discussion with somebody who is more on the political left, it doesn't take long and I get called a Nazi. It's just the basics.
Oh. Yeah, of course. So, okay. Well, why don't you tell people about the situation in Austria? Austria does seem to be... There seems to be reason for optimism about Austria, far more than Germany at the moment. So, and what do you think about that?
I think we have currently some very good developments. I mean, I have to make one statement very clear. It's a centre-right government. It's not a right-wing paradise incoming. So... I've seen a lot of videos where people are just completely celebrating it as if we took power or something. It's a step into the right direction, a healthy one, I would say.
Right. And so what do you think about the FPÖ?
It's a useful party with a lot of smaller issues. I personally always vote for them, have my sympathies for them, but a fair share of issues. So I'm... Carry on.
No, go on.
I basically don't agree with everything they do. I'm not a big fan of their policy during the last years of toning certain things down, especially they got rid of a lot of the more hardcore people in the party and made it a little bit more mainstream acceptable, which has its pros and cons. So... I'm not a big fan of that, but besides that, it's the best we have and definitely something worth supporting.
Okay. So do you think that Austria, do you think it's going to be okay within our lifetimes?
We have definitely a good chance to turn things around. I mean, the new government has already made some measures very clear to make it less and less attractive for mass migration, especially from Northern Africa and the Arabic world, to come in there. And I would say that there is a high chance that we will have a natural remigration occurring, just because things are not so easygoing anymore.
Well, of course, that's what everyone wants. We want them to go back of their own accord. I mean, that would just be tremendous.
It would be the best outcome, but... Well, not everybody is going to leave, and there will still be some, we will still have some tension remaining, that's clear.
And what would you do with that situation? Would you pay them to leave?
If I could, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, this is what came up in my debate with V last night. How do we get them to leave? Oh, God. He just thinks it's fine as long as they're obeying the laws. And
Of course.
So we can get wiped out. We can be replaced. It doesn't matter as long as the laws remain, and the, well, I guess he would say the culture,
just,
but the thing is, the culture will not remain.
Waters, doesn't matter. Hey, as long as they obey the law and are based brown people, we are okay with it. Basic civic nationalist bullshit, I would guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course, in the long term, the culture will not stay the same and the laws will not stay the same. You know, it's just crazy. And that's if you care about the cultural thing. Then there's the ethnic thing. And, you know, as I tried to get him to see, you should care about your own people regardless of the culture that they're currently living through. In his case, he's Romanian. Communism, fascism, whatever, the Romanian people survived that. They are the constant, not the culture. So it's them that you have to care about. But, of course, it was just completely... completely fell on deaf ears. He couldn't understand it. It's so frustrating.
I had those very same argumentations, the very same conversations, mostly in comment sections of people like Crowd and T, for example, where he was blowing up in the early days with all the skeptics. Where I just tried to explain to them, democracy, they obey the laws, nice and fine, but as soon as they have a majority in your own country, they will not bring about the laws that you want to. They will bring about their personal interests and their laws. And that's something that he cannot change.
Yeah, and also their ancestral culture might well reemerge. You know, once they have the power to be, for example, let's just use the example of Islam. Once they're in enough numbers in our countries, in order to get away with living with Sharia law or something, they will just bring it in. Why wouldn't they?
I mean, I don't know how far you saw that with the last election in Turkey, where a lot of Austrians and Germans, with Turkish origin, of course, were able to vote. And they overwhelmingly voted for Erdogan. So that was a big outrage, especially in Germany. Oh, but these people normally just vote left-wing. Why is this happening? Why are they voting for a reactionary Turkmen? Why is this happening? They cannot get their heads around that.
Yeah, it's amazing. They think that, because the left like to think that these are their brown pets who just do whatever they want and will vote for them. But that election is a sign of what's to come. You know, once they can vote for their own interests, they will vote for their own interests.
Exactly. I mean, you have it especially here in Austria with the Social Democrats. They already make a lot of the usual campaign stuff during the election years is in Turkish. They specifically target the Turks, especially as their core demographic. Because, most of the working class is already shifting over to the Freedom Party, to the FPÖ.
I see. So they need to sort of shore up their own vote elsewhere.
Exactly.
That's interesting.
They have some standard influence for basically ever with the working class. And right now, the only people remaining are either clueless idiots or pensioners who always voted for them. That's basically the only white Austrians that are honestly remaining for them. It's actually very rare that you find politically interested young people out of a working class environment that would have a good word about this party.
So do you think that the white working class, the Austrian working class, are now going nationalist?
They have for at least the last 3, 4, 5 years even, I would say.
Right, that's interesting. I've never heard anyone say it that clearly.
Basically, everybody within the working class that I know and have regular contact to, they all vote Freedom Party. That's a basic thing. If you talk to them about the Green Party, for example, they actually get kind of aggressive, understandably so.
I think the Green Party has that effect on almost everyone who doesn't vote for them. I mean, and that's the same in Britain as well. They're a bunch
of hippies. The best thing about this entire election, we don't have them in the parliament anymore. They fell below the 4% margin and they are now out of there. So, no tax money for them. The party's bankrupt. And the regional party, I believe, in Lower Austria, they made a Star Wars-themed campaign spot. And the funny thing is they didn't ask Disney if they could use the material. So it now seems that one of the regional branches of the Green Party is getting sued by Disney for misappropriating. So you have a bankrupt party that is now, yeah, probably even in deeper bankruptcy because they get sued by a big corporation. It's beautiful.
So I think people would be interested in knowing, how would you compare Austria and Germany? Because I think in people's minds, the two countries are sort of like the same. So what would you say about that?
It's nonsense. They are both German. I mean, we Austrians, we are Germans. That's a basic thing, but the mentalities are different. And I believe that the big divider is how we emerged out of the Second World War. Because, the Austrians did what they usually do when they use wars. They weasel their way out there, or at least they try. And what we did after the Second World War was basically, oh, yeah, we were Hitler's first victim. We didn't join him voluntarily. No. He occupied us, and we are basically down there with the Czechs, the Poles, and everybody else. So
right.
There was a little bit less brainwashing going on and a little bit more of a relaxed attitude towards Austrian nationalism. That's the good side of it.
Yeah, it's very, it's an amazing thing that they pulled off there. Because, you know, considering that Hitler was Austrian.
That's the thing. Also considering that, especially the Austrians were amongst the most fanatical Nazis. I mean, sorry, National Socialists, before anybody gets triggered. So,
right.
There were extremely high percentages, especially within the Waffen-SS and the Gestapo. The Austrians had this tendency that they wanted to show their German brethren that they were more German than they were. So it's a little bit of an inferiority complex. I believe that it is still around to a huge extent right now.
But is that not useful? I would think that would be useful.
I personally see it as useful. It definitely is.
Because it's a driving force, and it makes you want to do things to prove yourself.
Exactly. I mean, the other big difference between Austria and Germany is definitely the more, you could say, conservative Catholic culture. That's the backbone of Austrian culture, you could say.
So go on.
Yeah, for example, we have far more in common with the Bavarians, just on a cultural and behavior-wise level, than with Northern Germans. And it has a lot to do with religion. I mean, you see it with Northern and, with Republican Ireland and Northern Ireland, with the Protestant and Catholic divide there. Those things are not as important as they once were, but they are still around.
And, that's an interesting thing about them still being important now, but not as important as they were. Because one of the things that really scares me is the idea that things have changed so much that we can't restore ourselves. Like with for example, with the Germans or the Swedes, even like can they restore their phenotype if all the non-whites were to just disappear from Sweden tomorrow, would the Swedes still be okay? Because how many of them are going to survive this? What I mean in the case of Germany is you don't see people walking around. I spent a bit of time in Germany this year. You don't see people walking around who look like the Aryan Übermensch. They just don't seem to exist anymore. And I think there's been so much shaming of that sort of appearance, that sort of phenotype, that it's just been bred out of the population. That's almost that's how it looks.
Yeah. You're completely right with that one. I mean, it's definitely one of the things that worries me personally the most.
And of course, this is why I'm so against race mixing, right? That we don't even have the luxuries. It's not like the damage is already being done, right? And
exactly.
God, it just frustrates me endlessly. And then you get people just making a joke out of it. They think, oh, you care about that. Huh? It's pathetic. They just can't see how serious this situation is.
That's pretty funny. I mean, in that case, you always have to turn it around. So would it be okay for you if we, bring a lot of Chinese into Africa and basically let them interbreed there and become a dominant culture there? would you be okay with that? So you basically destroy some African tribes and replace them with some Mongol Chinese race. Would that be okay? And it's like always with leftists. I mean, they care about animals and plants and everything, but as soon as it comes down to people, especially white people, yeah, all that, the basic understanding of races and interbreeding and everything, that doesn't count anymore. It just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw Crouch's videos, the Crouch and Tease videos recently, but yes, he just doesn't see that, for example, you can breed for intelligence. And actually, V made a video today about the debate I had with him last night, and there's someone under there saying the same thing, you can't breed for intelligence. Do these people have no idea?
No, of course not.
I'm amazed by them. They're so detached from reality.
Just a personal example, because we have that in the family. There are a lot of people that tend towards academia, above average intelligence, usually very gifted when it comes to languages and other things, and that's in the family. That's a basic thing. And you see that with the children. I see it with all my cousins and siblings. They have the same traits. It's there.
And yeah, so of course it's something that's hereditary. It's passed down from through the generations. This is obvious stuff. And yet we're now dealing with large numbers of people who don't get it. They don't understand this. They actually think that it's just all... I suppose they think it's all socialization and culture.
I honestly have to say, for many people, it is really the brainwashing that they grew up with. It is not that they don't understand it, they don't want to.
Yes, because it's very simple. I mean, they could understand it if they wanted to. It's not neuroscience. You know, that this is very common sense stuff. I mean, that's... And, you know, it's not just in Germany, you know, because it's easy to say, well, the Germans have been brainwashed, but everyone has, you know, at this stage.
Exactly.
You get
exactly.
British teenagers, American teenagers growing up not understanding these basic things. And then, of course, the university education just makes it even worse.
Yeah, that's a big one.
But I do think that, you know, obviously I'm a bit pissed off today because of that debate, but you know, I do think that we are making progress. I think on the internet, I think that we are becoming quite dominant on YouTube for a start.
Yeah,
not there yet, but I think we're getting there. Yeah. I also think the meme warfare is very, very effective.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I don't always like the milieu that it springs from, but it's absolutely. I mean, they're doing good work. Yeah. In terms of the memes, and that's not a dig at 4chan. It's not my kind of place. That's all I mean.
But just that I get, you
know, that I'm glad it's there.
It is something that I usually say. The alt-right and all the people around it, the movement in general. It's so decentralized with so many inputs from so many places. It's basically our biggest positive.
It is. I mean, it's a funny thing about the alt-right. You know, that it's so. There are so many people competing and sort of hating each other and different interests and all that. And yet it's like a ball of energy that just keeps plowing onwards, regardless of the problems inside it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always interesting. You have a lot of people that seem to have more of an interest in infighting than actually doing something constructive. And I had this with all my previous channels before they were deleted. I always had to moderate very heavily. Dude, have this conversation privately. If you want to talk about theories or rumors regarding certain people, do it privately. Don't do it here. All of that stuff makes us just look bad. Doesn't get us forward.
And it brings down morale.
You know, exactly.
Because people start just gossiping about each other, and instead of, you know, supporting each other and just getting on with things, it's a huge thing. You know, at this stage, my comment threads are so busy.
That's the thing. Oh, by the way, congratulations for the 40k subs.
Oh, thank you very much. It was it's a big thing, and it was it happened in the middle of so much. You know, I was so busy at the time. But yeah, it came as a. I was hoping to that it would happen by the end of the year. You know, once Millennial started, the subs really picked up, and I thought, fucking hell, I'm going to hit 40k by the end of the year. And yeah, it was great. Thank you very much.
But the
comment threads are so busy
that I can't.
Yeah, yeah. I probably need to find someone else to do it for me at this stage, because I wouldn't have any time to make videos, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, with the last channel that I had before it got deleted, that was the first one. I had about 6,000 subscribers, and I noticed this was already the point where it was hard to moderate. So I actually had to put some close indications in the spam box for certain things that should be sorted out that I could look through before they got published. Because, I guess you know that you usually have your shields running around. Hey, I just linked this random stuff here. You have no idea what it is, but I just leave it here.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, as a channel grows, you get lots of people who are less committed. You know, at the start, it tends to be hardcore, like people who really like your stuff. And
exactly.
I don't really know why that is, to be honest. But as it grows, you get people who are less committed or who are less closely aligned with you. So they have a different attitude. For example, in my first year, first 2 years, I didn't attract the sort of 1488 types from, you know, US white nationalism. But now they are there.
Come from new reactionary. The whole new reactionary scene, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I was never that much into it, but
that's at least where I found
it. Basically. Yeah, it was like, I was like a paleo con. And I think I still have that idea of man as a fallen creature, which I think is now that sort of outrageous to a lot of the young ones today. They don't have that awareness of frailty, including in themselves, which is a big problem, I think.
Very true. I mean, for some people, a little bit of humility, that wouldn't be a bad thing. Let's just phrase it like this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't... And again, I'm just noting that these are things that I think could be addressed. I think that next year I want to spend far more time talking about this kind of thing, like psychology, knowing yourself, understanding yourself, and that sort of thing. Because I think it's, other people are now around to talk about, you know, race and all that.
Yes.
So I think I'd rather go back to that, because I think I can help people that way.
It makes sense.
It's interesting.
The interest is there. I mean, that's basically the whole thing with Jordan Peterson, for example.
Yes, that is interesting, you know, because he's sort of arrived as this witch doctor type, this guru who says fairly obvious things. And I'm not, you know, his advice for people tends to be very obvious. I mean, the cliche thing is, you know, tidy a room. That is actually good advice. Because it's the first, it's a first step towards rehabilitating your life. I mean, if you have tidy surroundings or whatever, it's actually good advice. But he has emerged as this figure. And, you know, someone said that this is a guy who's appealing to young people who don't have father figures. So they look, they want this father figure.
That's the point.
And that's a very interesting observation. I mean, what would you say about that? That we've now got so many fatherless or single mother households that this happens? Or is it that the fathers are there, but they're cucked?
That's the point. The fathers are still, to a certain extent, around, but they just don't seek their natural roles anymore. They basically shy away from being fathers. That's, in my opinion, the biggest problem. And it's just a sign how far everything has gone. Where, basic, normal sense, family type of stuff, where, everybody basically 40, 50 years ago would have said, just makes sense, that's normal. that needs now to be debated.
Yeah, I think that retreat of masculinity is obviously part of it is feminism. That's partly why this is happening. But I also think it's just because a lot of the things, like a lot of the jobs that men used to do are no longer there. So you know, they've gone over, they've gone to China or whatever. So men don't have that way of becoming, you know, men anymore.
Yeah, that's a huge point. I mean, I get it out of personal experience. It is hard to find a job where you can actually care for a family, especially on your own.
Oh, well, this is another thing that came up with V last night. And, you know, oh, my God. Oh. You know, yeah. I was saying that it would be good to have an economy where a man could support a family on one salary.
Let me guess. He drifted off into the way of, women's liberation. They just need to be allowed to work too and all the nonsense.
He was saying that people should be allowed to do whatever they want and
no moderation.
So, there we go.
Ah, by the way, that is something that I have got out about myself because I'm myself a reformed leftist.
Well, so am I. Don't worry about it. But how did that happen, though? It's always an interesting story.
Public school. I had some right-wing conservative views as a child. I made in young years some quite hardcore statements, I have to say. And then public school happens. So when most of your teachers are left-wing and even some full-fledged communists, in your most vulnerable time of your life, of course, you become a leftist. That's just what you get.
Yeah, of course.
And what do you want to say?
Well, it's a danger because that is the only influence they have. When I went to America last year, I was in the day after the election, I was in Portland, and I interviewed various people. Yeah, I interviewed various people in this square, and two of them were like female students, and I didn't know that they were, I thought they were like university students, they were actually high school students. And they said something like, they basically said that the left wing was the way to go, that kind of thing, something to that effect. Yeah. And I said, are there any right wing teachers at your school? And they said no.
Of course not.
You know,
it was in my case. It was just a thing in my case. I had no even center-right teachers. Nothing at all. No conservatives, no right-wingers, nothing at all. It was just a complete left-wing environment. And that's all you got.
Yeah, and if that's all you've got, if that is the only point of view you're getting, of course you're going to be left-wing. You're just going to assume that is the only way to be. And especially if these figures of authority that you respect or want to respect are left-wing, then that's what you're going to be. It just amazed me that these girls couldn't see that the only influences they had were left-wing, and maybe that's why they're left-wing.
Yeah.
it's hilarious.
It's definitely the case with most people. I mean, I always get that with, university students, every time I talk to them. And you just bring something outside of the box. It baffles them. For most of them, it is just the sheer thought that there is something outside of the left-wing worldview, simply beyond them. Cannot exist. Heresy. Yes.
And of course, they assume, because they're told, that the right-wing ideas are just, you don't even need to look into them. You know, it's just stupid. Yeah. And we're moving on from all of that. It's so, you know, again, they take that on board as well. So they assume that the right-wingers are either stupid or uneducated,
exactly,
or evil.
I mean,
because basically those are the options they're left with.
It's always interesting when you have some little conversation with self-declared anti-fascists, and then you talk to them. Yeah, what do you actually know about fascism? About the economy and social structure? What do you know about it? And they're dumbstruck. They don't know what they shall talk about. It's just it's just cliches and.
Did you see my debate? Did you see my debate with Mike Isaacson?
No. I really have to watch them all.
Oh God! well, the Mike Isaacson, he is an anti-fascist lecturer in America.
Wait! You really had them on? You really had him on? I mean, it's this Antifa professor, right?
Yeah. He contacted me. I didn't, you know, yeah, it was, I suppose you could say it was a stroke of luck. I mean, he contacted me because I'd made a video about it.
I really have to watch that today.
I think you would find it interesting. Because, yeah, he was. I asked him what fascism is and all that. I can't recall what he said, but he regards the alt-right as a fascist, a Nazi. In fact, he called me a Nazi, I think, at one point.
Yeah, of course.
Or he definitely did. He definitely did in his art. He wrote a blog about it, and he called me a Nazi. So, I mean, you know, this is all just...
I have to say...
Yeah, go on.
Personally, I have some sympathies to a lot of fascist or national socialist doctrines and policies. I find a lot of agreeable stuff there. But the thing that always strikes me about leftists when you talk to them about it is how less of an understanding they actually have about the basic function and structure of it. I mean, talk to some leftist that wants to tell you something about fascism and ask him, who is Giovanni Gentile? Who is that man? Have you read his books? Do you know what you're talking about? And of course they don't.
Hmm. Oh, well, I mean, they don't need to. They know that the right is bad. And fascism is just the worst.
Exactly. I mean,
it's like the devil.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically something that you always see with the skeptics. At least I have the opinion. Because most of them are, at least to a certain extent, if not full-blown, at least closet leftists. And they never thought outside the box. They never had the intention to actually seek other viewpoints.
They're leftists who don't want the authoritarianism. So they want leftism plus freedom, I guess they would say.
I don't know who said it, but they basically want leftism in the 90s, where it was all just hip and fine and had no real consequences. That's what they want.
Oh yeah, I've said this many times that the skeptics are stuck in the 90s. And also, of course, they think that the SJW is the worst. Like the SJW is like the king boss that we have to defeat. And once we've done that, it'll be fine, you know. and this came up with my debate with Sargon. I mean,
yeah, so don't even start with him. If there's one guy that really gets me triggered, it's Sargon. I mean,
he means any harm or not.
The thing is, he's so incredibly passive. He has a conservative mindset. He really does want... He wants that things remain as they are. He really avoids radicalism like the plague. He wants to stay away from it.
Yeah,
that seems to be a general thing with them. They really don't want to go deeper down the rabbit hole. So SJWism, leftism in its extreme force, feminism, bad things. Okay, we can agree on that. What's the cause? Where does it come from? As soon as we go down that road, they flip out. It's too much for them. They don't want to go there.
They want to believe that the SJW just materialized at some point, exactly. Like after the 90s, out of nowhere. And and now we've got to slay this dragon. And that's it, you know. And as you say, they basically do just want to go back to the 90s. But that's terrible, because that is not addressing the actual issues. You know, in the 90s, all of our countries were still falling apart. They were just doing it less rapidly than they're doing it just now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the nice thing, and I guess the whole crowd and tea drama fest that we had, that was actually really productive, because it really propelled us forward, gave us a big audience, and many of our talking points are now suddenly just so much more acceptable. And to just pretend to be stupid and don't engage those things, it's not really that much of an option anymore for many people.
Yeah. I think that the other thing is that, as you said, Sargon wants to just maintain the status quo, get rid of the SJWs, but nothing radical, nothing terribly, let's put it that way, or let's put it this way, flavoursome, because that can only be bad. And the thing is... Well, you're not going to change this. You're not going to heal this society with milquetoast measures. You know, he was just...
I think he has no measures. That's the thing. Mm. I mean, what does he provide? Nothing.
Yeah, I should put him on the spot next time.
I mean, I saw once a video of him where he was just like, yeah, people ask me if I would run for elections or something like this. And I'm just like, no, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be a figure that makes decisions. I just want to do my thing here on YouTube. And well, I just think to myself, what do you want to change with that regard?
I don't know. I mean, I actually share that attitude. I don't think I would be good in politics. I don't think I'd be good in politics at all. So I think I can do the good that I can do.
But you fight the struggle
by doing this, by YouTube.
That's
yeah,
the point.
Exactly. Yeah. With Sargon, as you say, I don't think he knows. I don't think he has any ideas about how to heal this situation. I mean, the two things that came up in the V debate was that Sargon, I think, was outraged by because he watched it and commented underneath. I said that. Let me think about this. What were the two things I said that? If your country funds your education, like to be a doctor, I think that takes 6 to 8 years of training, and then you fuck off to another country, then that shouldn't be allowed. And I said it, and then V asked me, well, how would you stop people leaving? And that's the wrong question, you know. But then I was stuck in that, so I had to say, well, I don't know, you just have to stop them leaving somehow. And then he said, well, that's tyrannical. That's you can't prevent people from going where they want to go. When what I should have said is, you just have it in the contract at the start that if we are going to pay for you to be educated for 8 years, then you owe it to us to stay in this country. You know, it should have been a contract. That's what I should have said. But it went down that route, which is unfortunate. And then the other thing was about, I think it was race mixing. I said that people should be discouraged from race mixing. Oh, and I said that high IQ couples should be given money by the government to encourage them to have kids.
Good idea.
And apparently that's tyrannical. I mean, well, V didn't think so. He thought that was dreadful because that would be the government telling you what to do.
Oh, no, no, I mean, no, please, just... please not.
Exactly. Oh, God, it's so frustrating. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off there when you were talking about something.
Just about the entire thing. If you, for example, pay for someone's education, that's actually a problem that we have in Austria with students from other EU countries, especially Germany, funnily enough. They don't have the necessary grades to really cut it in German universities. So they come over to Austria and leech off the system exempt, especially in a quite tasteless way. And some Austrians really don't like it for understandable reasons. I mean, it's their tax money that pays for other people's educations. And as soon as they are done, they will probably fuck off to Germany or somewhere else.
Yeah. So why would they be okay with that? You know, the only situation in which people would be okay with that would be some sort of global government where everyone's tax went into the same pot and then, you know, financed the same universities. But that's not the situation we have. We still have nations and people are still, to some extent, attached to those nations and their ethnic groups. So they don't want to pay for, you know, other people's education.
Exactly. But the funny thing with all those figures, Sargon, V and all them, it's always they like to describe themselves as classic liberals. I guess that's their thing, is it? Because they...
Yes. V went into that at the start of it. He said, I'm a classical liberal, not a skeptic.
Okay. No, because that's something that I at least always see with Sargon, when he basically drifts off into complete socialism and Marxism, and he doesn't even realize it.
Well, could you describe that?
Oh, he routinely had some talking points, especially with the British elections. I remember where he had a big, really angry video about how horrible the Tories are. And, yeah. He basically advocated for things that would be perceived as socialism, as basically Marxist ideas.
He wants a welfare state, I know that. But as for Marxism, I think he is implicitly, he just has this idea of egalitarianism and that groups are fundamentally the same and therefore groups are meaningless, the divisions are meaningless. These are ideas that...
The energy that he brings up is probably to just keep that up. Which is
I mean, this is the thing. Right now, we're still in a fairly comfortable position, so that people can watch videos like that and think that they're making a difference.
Yeah.
But it's not going to remain like this. And I think that our ideas are going to become far more mainstream than they are just now. I mean, it's just inevitable that our countries are degenerating. So I think that the smugness of the skeptics is not going to last very long.
That's going to disappear in the next coming years. That's a certain thing. I mean, we had this with the Austrian election. Perfect example. You had our guys and the identitarians making pressure. You had the Conservative Party completely reinventing itself as a right-wing populist party because they couldn't compete with the Freedom Party. And everything that was leftist and pro-immigration became less and less favorable. You really ran into trouble when you were like, yeah, we need more brown people here. You couldn't go train station cheering anymore. That was just not acceptable any longer.
Mm. So someone's pointed out in the live chat that the alt-right is actually the center, because 60 years ago, all of the ideas of the alt-right were accepted as common sense by most white people. I think that's true. You know, this is the thing. They say that we are extremists. I really don't think we are. I think our great-grandparents would have taken everything that we... Sorry?
I completely have to agree with you on that.
I mean, our great-grandparents would have taken everything we... Yeah, so you go.
No, just carry on. What do you want to say?
I think that our great-grandparents would have taken everything that we say for granted. It wouldn't even have been controversial.
That's exactly the point that I wanted to make, right?
Europe. Yeah.
That's just something that I always have with even my grandparents right now. You know, I don't have to filter myself in normal conversations like I have to younger people. I can just straight out say what I believe in, and they are just like, yeah, makes sense. You're right with that one.
Yeah, it's really our parents' generation. They were the first who were sort of explicitly anti-traditional, and then
boomer.
boomers, and I'm not even criticizing them. It was a natural thing to happen. It was going to happen, but you know, people go along with the ideas of their time. I understand all that. I'm not criticizing them, and indeed, if I were there at that time, I'd probably have done it as well. I'd have gone along with it. I'd have been a hit.
Many of them are really divided on that. That's the funny thing. I mean, that's at least the thing with my parents. They would definitely describe themselves as liberals, I would say. But they have some extremely right-wing ideas, especially when it comes to family values.
That's the thing. A lot of people are privately very conservative. I mean, the Champagne Socialist looks after his own money, you know. He will look after his house. He will look after his children and the education yes. they get and all the rest of it. You know, a lot of people are conservative in their own lives. It's only when they go to the voting booth and they're trying to influence society at large that they think, they can just be wild.
And that's the interesting thing, because they are so far away from reality in many cases that it hurts, especially the Champagne Socialists or the more younger types, the anarcho-communists and socialists, the self-described, the types that never worked a day in their life and want to tell you something about working-class ideology. It's funny.
Yes, indeed. Well, listen, we're going to have to cut this one short now because I've got James Alsop coming on. He's due to begin now, really.
I'm
sorry about that. Yeah.
No, that's my fault because I had some technical issues to come on. So just that I get that one out of the way, because many of my subscribers wanted me to talk to you about the women question, about this whole Sarah McCarthy drama. And if it would be okay for you, could we once do a separate hangout or something on that regard?
Yes.
Just so that we really have the time to actually talk about that.
I listened to your video. I thought you made a lot of good points. My position on it is that, as far as I know, all of these women are either starting families now or are on the verge of doing so. So in the meantime, they're doing this. And they're reaching people that we will not reach. So, I mean, that's, I think it's useful to us. I think they're a core part of why the alt-right has grown over the last 2 years.
Everything has its pros and cons. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the only thing that we would really disagree upon, if the negatives outweigh the positives or the other way around. But yeah,
right.
If you could talk about that a little bit longer, would be nice.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Why don't you tell people about your channel briefly, why they, you know, what they can find there?
Yeah. You can find me on YouTube as Cato the Third, or always on Minds as Cato Speech.
That's okay. Are you on Twitter?
No. Not on Twitter, okay. Not on Facebook. I like to stay away from those places.
Well, I think we're all going to get banned. I'm still on Twitter for now, but I don't expect it to last long. If you could give me your minds.com URL, I'll add that, because that, you know, that's more stable than your YouTube URL. So, okay, I'll add that to the description. Okay, well, this was Cato, and I enjoyed this one. And next up is James Alsop. So I'll see you in about 10 minutes. Okay, thank you, Cato.
You're welcome. Have a nice evening.
Okay, and thanks to everyone for listening. I'll be back soon.